It's the 21st Show. I'm Kimberly Schofield, in for Brian Mackey. It's time for our Friday Reporter Roundtable, where we talk about stories making headlines in different regions of the state. Today, we're focusing on the Metro East, and joining me now is Will Bauer, Metro East reporter for St. Louis Public Radio. Will, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me.
Will, Japanese steel company Nippon and the Trump administration recently announced a deal that would allow Nippon to purchase U.S. Steel based in Pittsburgh. But questions remained about the fate of Granite City Works. What do we know now?
Well, we know that they're not going to make any changes to what's currently happening at Granite City Steel for the next 2 years. So currently, and for folks that aren't aware, this is a steel mill that at full capacity employs about 2,000 people, 1,800-ish union jobs in a town of about 27,000, just north of East St. Louis. And right now, both blast furnaces are idled, and there's about 900 folks that are working there. And so over these last 18 months, everyone kind of in and around the mill, like you were saying, has been waiting to figure out what is going to happen with us. And yeah, last Wednesday, for the first time in those 18 months, we heard that U.S. Steel was able to confirm that Nippon is not going to do anything for 2 years. Now, most people that I've been talking to are pretty skeptical, and they're thinking that Nippon is just going to take their time, make some evaluations. They don't want to make a tough decision maybe to close the plant right away. So they're going to take their time over these 2 years because Granite City Works is still processing some steel, and then the more skeptical thinking would go, they may, after those 2 years, close or sell the blast furnaces. But right now, the union, state, and federal lawmakers have kind of been reaching out to one person they think could possibly influence this situation. And that's, of course, President Trump, who would have done a rally here in 2018 in Granite City. And he touted his tariffs, and U.S. Steel at that time was reopening the blast furnaces. And he also campaigned on bringing back American manufacturing jobs. So the deal does, between U.S. Steel and Nippon, give him or a designee from his office a ability to prevent the closure, idling, or sale of a mill. And it's kind of the hope of the folks here in Granite City that he will live up to those promises and not forget about the Metro East mill in this in the shuffle of the massive deal that's happening.
Well, what do steelworkers in Granite City think about the deal overall?
They had largely been skeptical. They had pretty much taken the same position that would have come out of the national or the International Steelworkers Union based in Pittsburgh. But essentially, they would have loved to have find an American manufacturer to buy them. So they had initially endorsed Cleveland-Cliffs, and they had felt that that company was a lot more favorable to them. It was a lot more union friendly. And so when they went with the Japanese buyer, which they said they have a number of qualms with, they were kind of disappointed. But right now, they're kind of also hopeful that if there's any influence that President Trump could put his thumb on the scale in any way, shape, or form so that they can make investments. Nippon can make some investments in Granite City Works and keep it open. That's what they would love to happen, have happen. But more waiting and more seeing, I guess, for.
And we're moving on to a couple of stories involving flooding. The Army Corps of Engineers in Madison County are addressing a flood prevention system that hasn't worked as well as it intended. How are they going to address the issues?
Yeah, so this they recently completed a $40 million project in Madison County. Listeners might know the Melvin Price Lock and Dam in Alton. This is kind of right in that neck of the woods, right before the Mississippi River joins with the Missouri River here in the region. But basically, this big levee that was constructed in the 1950s to prevent and limit flooding that protects about 31,000 people, nearly 14,000 acres of land, $3.4 billion in property are the official estimates of what this levee protects. But in some of the region's worst floods, particularly in 1993, which is one of the worst historically, that levee hasn't always held up. So the Army Corps kind of figured this out in the 2000s, that there was water seeping underneath the levee. Under seepage is what they call it, and it's causing the structure of the levee to weaken. So the worry is that it would weaken the levee enough that if another 1993 happened, it could possibly fail, and it would be catastrophic. So the $40 million in repair that they recently would have finished The repairs and preventative maintenance basically put a bunch of pumps and a new drainage system in that would collect all that water that's seeping underneath the levee and return it to the river.
And meanwhile, Will, a major sewer line has been cleaned and upgraded in Cahokia Heights. Say more about that.
Yeah, so Cahokia Heights, which is a suburb that is just south of East St. Louis, has long been plagued with a faulty sewer and stormwater system, and it's been the subject of extensive press coverage over the last 5 years. Basically, anytime there's rain, the rain does not drain. It sits in people's yards, in ditches, and even worse, the sewers overflow and people's basements flood. Overall, just a really, really bad situation for a lot of folks. And the recent project to repair a little more than 3 miles of the city's main sewer line was critical. Officials believe in the millions of dollars of repairs to the city's decrepit sewer system that needs to be addressed. There was about $3.5 million in congressional earmarks that Senator Durbin came down to deliver a couple years and returned recently to mark the completion of the project. But this project, they kind of thought, was a really good starting place to solve the massive system that needs to be really reworked. But it's just one drop in the bucket. Despite the millions of dollars in work, there's many residents that still say change isn't happening fast enough. There's this kind of ongoing struggle that the bureaucratic process for a small city to complete these millions of dollars of repairs with tons of federal and state money takes time, but the residents are saying we need change now because we're sick of dealing with this. And in some instances, there are actual documented cases of folks becoming sick because of the sewage that is in their homes and in their yards.
And finally, sticking to changes happening in Cahokia Heights, the Southern Illinois Healthcare Foundation recently unveiled one-bedroom housing units. What will these units be used for, Will?
Yeah, basically everywhere, whether it's a low-income community like Cahokia Heights or other communities, right, needs affordable housing. And so that was kind of the idea, is that this community, this little Vivian's Village is what they're calling it, these 16 one-bedroom units would help that. The mayor told me that he believes these 16 units are probably the first affordable housing units the city has built, or that have been built in the city, rather, in 30 years. And I was kind of wondering, you know, and I think listeners may be wondering, like, why is the Southern Illinois Healthcare Foundation, a healthcare provider, interested in building affordable housing? And basically, they believe that providing housing is kind of a more holistic approach to health and healthcare. By providing affordable housing, you know, not only can you improve people's health outcomes by keeping them grounded in, you know, good affordable housing, but in turn, you can reduce the cost of healthcare to it. And that's kind of their thinking. And this project was actually kind of just the first phase. There's a second phase in the works that's a little bit bigger, 36 family units. And the Southern Illinois Healthcare Foundation is hoping to begin construction on those in the next couple of months.
Thanks so much, Will. This is the 21st Show. I'm Kimberly Schofield. We're speaking with Will Bauer, Metro East reporter for St. Louis Public Radio, as part of our reporter roundtable, talking about stories making headlines in the Metro East part of the state. Will, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.